Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Point Forward podcast, and on the other line, as always, is Jim Ozarski. He is the beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covering the Milwaukee Bucks. Find everything he has at jsonline.com. Last week at jsonline.com, we had a ton of coverage looking at the 1971 Bucks team. We had some special podcasts for you, in addition to a lot of just great writing from Jim and Lori Nickel, Ben Steele, a few others. And that was cool. It was a really cool look back 50 years ago, the one and only championship in Bucks history. But now we have to refocus on this year's team, trying to become that first team in 50 years, in a half century, to win an NBA championship. And right now we're getting kind of some interesting results. The more recent games that we haven't talked about that we definitely have to hit on are the two against the 76ers and one against the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday. It was a thriller. Kevin Durant versus Giannis going mano a mano. Both of them clear the 40-point threshold. Bucks hold on for a three-point victory. That's pretty reassuring for a Bucks team that is still sitting in that three spot in the Eastern Conference and right now looks like will face the Nets in the second round as if the Nets stay in the two spot. But there's also been some bad losses in there. Jim, right at the top, just give me your overall vibe on this Bucks team, because I know I ask this question a lot. Like, is this a team that's going to win the championship? We know it's capable of doing that still. They've been playing kind of roughly 500 for a while, and after, you know, even though they have these big wins, they also have, like, losses to the worst team in the NBA, like the Houston Rockets, or, you know, they're just a clumsy loss to the Hawks, things like that, trouble finishing, trouble playing defense at times. Give me your overall state of the union here on the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, Bucks fans may not like this, but right now, state of the union is, I mean, JR, this is May. There are 8 games left as we record this. They are 11-10 since March 26th. You are what you are at some point. And while they remain a plus 16, you know, in the win column, they are a good team. We can have the conversation about, you know, perhaps leapfrogging Brooklyn, for the two seed if they win, but they've been the three. JR, we've talked about this team as the three seed all season. Mm-hmm. And you're right. They swept Philadelphia on the season series. That's no small feat. The 76ers have 21 losses. The Bucks have handed them 3. You know, they are now 1-1 with the Nets on the year. But again, 11-10 since March 26th, that's the entire month of April, plus some time now. Like, I know, Giannis has been hurt, but that's also part of it, right? He has been hurt. He has been trying to work through the knee and then the ankle. When they're good, they look good. But I don't know, JR, like, they could go to the finals, but I also see if it's a bad matchup in the second round that they're going home again. I guess that's where I have to be honest with Bucks fans and with what I've seen. I think that's where they are right now.
Yeah, the injury with Giannis is interesting. Certainly, at least it gave me pause on Thursday that he came into that game with the Rockets on the injury report, questionable with a sprained ankle. I don't know why, if your superstar is questionable against the worst team in the NBA, he would ever suit up and play, but he did. He left in the first minute with a re-aggravation of that injury. He missed the next game against the Bulls. He was back against, you know, Kevin Durant and the Nets, and he dropped 49 points. And it seems like, you know, that should be a sign that all is well. But I would also say that against Portland earlier this year, when he seemed to kind of tweak the injury in pregame warmups, he had one of his best games, particularly on the inside, in the paint. One of his best games of the year, and then he had to sit out a bunch of games. So I don't know. I feel like there should be still some pretty significant concern on that injury, that he's just an awkward landing or two away from being out again for a big chunk of time. We've got 8 games of the season left. I don't know how much Giannis is going to play down the stretch, because even though they technically could be the number one seed, they could still get hot, win 7 of these last 8 games, and maybe catch the 76ers. I also feel like they've been in this position before, and even if they beat the Nets on Tuesday night, I think their destiny is almost cemented. And I don't know, and we've talked about how, you know, Mike Budenholzer and the Bucks in general don't really look at it quite like that. They don't really pursue that top seed necessarily or go out of their way to pursue the top seed. But you're right, like we're headed toward a Miami, Brooklyn, Philadelphia path to getting to the NBA Finals. And honestly, that just sounds like a worst case scenario to me for these Milwaukee Bucks, especially if Giannis is injured. I mean, how worried should we be about Giannis's injuries at this point?
Yeah, the ankle, so the knee was obviously a problem. They did the right things and shut him down for 2 weeks at the right time. We talked about it then. He is now, you know, sort of rounding back into form. The ankle's scary because we didn't really see when he got hurt in Charlotte. Obviously finished that game. We saw what happened in Houston, and you know, that looked and sounded scary. And look, that was on like the same window as LeBron James coming back after missing a month plus with a sprained ankle. Like that's no, you know, I'll be honest, JR, man, I've kind of taken that guys playing through ankles for granted as an NFL writer. But obviously, you know, basketball's a much different animal in that regard. And I really wondered about him playing against Brooklyn, JR. I really did. I was like, man, I don't, you know, is this the right decision? And clearly he wanted to play. He played great. He admitted after the game that he wasn't full speed and full go. And who knows, maybe that helped him have the night he did where he was a little more patient and, you know, picked the spots. So you're right. If he's sore, I don't know. You're right. They're not going for the one seed. I mean, I think that's definitely something they've got to be super mindful of giving him, and even Dante DiVincenzo with that great / grand / master toe, you know, whatever's going on there. Dante has not looked right for a while. And I think, I don't know if they could beat those teams. Look, I'm not saying Dante DiVincenzo is the key to winning the finals, but him going 1-for-4, 0-for-4, 1-for-5, and not really being a disruptor is not good for them. So I think Dante DiVincenzo and Giannis getting healthy over the next 2 weeks is important. The health thing. Look, Brooklyn, they haven't had James Harden. Philadelphia has not had their guys. I think it could be a playoff of attrition. And if the Bucks are going to have to run that gauntlet that you just sort of outlined there, JR, I think they got to make sure their guys are good to go.
Yeah, you mentioned James Harden not playing. It's one of the reasons why you have to take the success against Brooklyn with a grain of salt. Even in that first game when Durant didn't play, both games are one-point games or one-possession games. So the Bucks, you know, the Bucks being right there with Brooklyn should tell you they can compete. But on the other hand, Brooklyn wasn't at full strength. Same with Philadelphia not having Ben Simmons, you know, and Embiid in the second game. It's hard to feel too great about those victories, especially when you see it mixed in. I got to be honest, this Thursday loss to Houston, it's one game. It's, you know, it doesn't ultimately matter. It doesn't really change their playoff destiny. But that was a tough one. And it came on the same day as some bad news and other aspects of Wisconsin sports. That's the day Aaron Rodgers, the news broke that he didn't want to come back to the Packers. And the Brewers pitcher Corbin Burns was, you know, was going to be on the health and safety protocol list for a while. We all know what that means. So it was not a fun day. And yes, Giannis goes out early. That was the headline. But The Bucks just could not play defense. I mean, Kevin Porter Jr. drops 50 on them. Kevin Porter Jr., no offense, fine player. But we're talking about a team that is easily the worst by, I believe, 3 wins still, the worst team in the NBA. They had a lead in the fourth quarter. They even rallied to get the lead in the fourth quarter. It looked like they were going to create some separation. I don't know how you can allow 140-some points to Houston and still believe that you have the defense that can win a championship. I know they're experimenting, and I know they're still trying to figure out every possible way that a playoff team is going to come after them, and that still could very well bear fruit. But when you give up 146 points to Houston, I just don't feel like that's a team that can win the championship. And again, one game, stupid sample, but like, I don't know, Jim. They can't close games. Like they have this habit in fourth quarters and against Houston, it just really rattled me. Am I overstating this? Am I too rattled by one game here?
Well, I No, because it's not just one game. Again, it's 11-10 since March 26th, right? Like, it's not, I mean, there's definitely far more going on there. And it's interesting because the long game of the defense, like, I think starting the year, they were like middle of the league in defensive rating and, you know, the metrics of playing D. They have gotten better with that. They have, I think, crept it before Houston, fifth, sixth in the league. So not that like elite number one that they've been, which others can argue, what did that get them? So like the eye test sometimes isn't matching up with how the league measures defense. So I'm kind of on the fence there in the sense of, well, I do think they're better. Like they're switching is better and more efficient than it was early in the season, of course. Brooke Lopez knows how to play drop defense, protect the rim. We've seen that. Yes, they lost to Phoenix on that kind of crazy shot in overtime when Giannis got hurt, but the Suns really didn't attack the paint. And why? That's because they dropped off and Brooke Lopez was making an impact. So now to your point, they can't close. I don't know what they would do in winning time when it's James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. I don't know if there's an answer for that. I don't think that's a Bucks problem, though. The Bucks might be best equipped to handle it with the fact that none of those guys are post players in the 76ers. Like, Joel Embiid is almost a non-factor in defensively in that Brooklyn, if that makes sense, right? So I think they're set up with Holiday, Tucker, Giannis to be able to, and Middleton, to be able to defend the perimeter with Brooke in there also. Now, Joe Harris creates an issue. I mean, okay, that's maybe, you know, a playoff preview, JR, but I guess I'm talking around it. Because I also don't know, yeah, what's the go-to? What's the, we need a stop. We need two stops. How do we get it? Maybe we're seeing it. You know, look, they beat Brooklyn by three. You know, we saw Kyrie have to take, you know, a tough three for some reason over Dante DiVincenzo. I mean, look, I don't know why he did it, but he did. You know, who knows what he saw or didn't see, but that's the shot he took. It was a bad one, and he missed. The inbound play, P.J. Tucker, you know, Durant squeezed it off, but it was still 3.6 seconds. That's a more than enough time to collect and make a move and do something. But what happened? It was a fall-away three with P.J. Tucker in the vicinity. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's the answer, is we don't have one. And maybe that's what they want, as opposed to the last couple of years, JR, where it was this quote-unquote historic drop defense that was just strafed apart, whereas now we don't know, but maybe that's the point. I don't, you know, that maybe we just have to see.
As the Bucks prepare to take on the Nets and Wizards this week, you should begin preparing for a summer of fun. Introducing Milwaukee Sports and Social, a brand new recreational co-ed softball and kickball league for the city of Milwaukee that is designed to help you and your friends make the most out of summer 2021. Register as an individual or sign up with a few friends as a partial team. Milwaukee Sports and Social will then fill out your roster with fun Milwaukee locals who you can have a great summer with. Registration is only $99 per person, but listeners can take $5 off their registration with code BASKETBALL at checkout. Start enjoying your social life again. Register today at MilwaukeeSportsAndSocial.com. That's MilwaukeeSportsAndSocial.com. Use that registration code, basketball. Bucks have 8 games left. Of course, that starts with the game against Brooklyn, the rematch, on Tuesday night at Pfizer Forum. 5 of their last 8 at home. It's kind of a nice schedule if you're a Bucks fan. Now, they do have a second game of a back-to-back against the Wizards. That's a team they would normally beat, but you never really know with who's gonna play on Wednesday. Then the Rockets again on Friday. Again, that should be a win. It should be a convincing win, but you know, we saw what happened in Houston. They go to San Antonio, to Indiana, and Chicago. None of those are outright, I guess, pushovers, but they should win two of those three at the very least, and then also the Magic and Heat, the Heat being a key one, on the 15th at Pfizer Forum, because that could very well be a first-round matchup at this point. You know, we've talked about the Heat and why they're dangerous. Right now, it's pretty bunched up there. It could be the Hawks, could be the Celtics that wind up in that sixth spot if the Bucks do indeed remain locked into the three spot, which I still think is a very, very strong possibility. Has anything changed in your mind about a first-round opponent? If you had to choose between the Heat and the Hawks, you would certainly choose the Hawks? Or, you know, what do you think there if they do have to face the Heat? I mean, what is your thought there?
Yeah, I think the Heat, man, they're sort of more of a boogeyman. I think I don't know if they're not a better matchup than, say, Boston or Charlotte. I know that's going to sound really crazy to say, but I think the way Charlotte plays, the pace they play at, LaMelo Ball is back. I don't know when Gordon Hayward comes back, but look, that the Bucks had to do all they could to win in Charlotte without those guys playing for the Hornets, and that prevented a season sweep by Charlotte. I mean, let's not forget that. They're a weird matchup for the Bucks. Now, the Celtics seem to be dysfunctional and hurt, and you know, Evan Fournier is still dealing with the after effects of COVID-19, so that trade has not really bolstered the Celtics the way they thought it would. I think Boston is a little scary for the Bucks. I mean, we've seen those games this year. The Heat, they played so long ago, JR. That was December? January? You know, like, that was forever ago. I have no idea. We know Tyler Hero, and he sort of exists now in, like, the People magazine culture. So I don't know what's going on with him. But Jimmy Butler, I know Jimmy Butler. I know Bam Adebayo, and I know Eric Spoelstra. And those guys are really good. And Spo is, for my money, one of the best, if not the best coach in basketball, outside of Greg Popovich, maybe. It's tough. It's not good. I still think if they can put their chips on beating Brooklyn on Tuesday and fighting through that back-to-back against Washington and getting that two seed, because then you're doing that. Now you're in the playoff dance, and who knows what's going to come out of that play-in thing. I just think if you can avoid Boston, Celtics, Hornets, those are all bad matchups to me, JR. I think if you're the Bucks, you kind of hope the Hawks kind of filter down and somehow the Heat can get to the five, or maybe, but you know what I mean? I think the Hawks or Knicks would be a better first round matchup for the Bucks, because man, they may be working pretty hard to beat those other teams.
2.5 games right now as we record this on Monday, posting Tuesday. 2.5 games separate the 4 seed from the 7 seed, the Knicks in there. You mentioned this, the 4. I'm worried about Bogdan Bogdanovich revenge series if the Hawks end up being the matchup. I'm gonna jump ahead to a potential storyline and rob future JR of this potential topic. But let's say the Bogdan deal goes down and it works out. Dante is elsewhere. Really it would be at this point probably just a straight swap in terms of it'd be Bogdan Bogdanovich in and Dante out. How does that change the Bucks, do you think? Let's say Bogdan doesn't get hurt early in the season. What do you envision is different, if anything? Maybe it's not different. Maybe they have the same problems or different problems.
Here's the interesting thing. If they sign and trade for Bogdan, I don't know if Jrue Holiday's here. I mean, that was a week before the Holiday trade went through. So that's the part of it. It's not just the Dante DiVincenzo thing. I don't know where the money would have been to extend Jrue Holiday.
I see what you mean. Because those moves were announced, I thought, like almost the same day. But you're saying they wouldn't be able to extend Holiday.
Yeah, so the Bogdan, so Jrue Holiday, that trade was completed November 24th of 2020. The Bogdanovich sign and trade was kind of tough. Yeah, it was about the same time, the 24th, 27th. Yeah, so you're right on that. The extension for Holiday would have been interesting there because they're up against it. And maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the point. Maybe ownership had said, we don't care about the luxury tax. We know we're going to have to pay Drew Holiday $180 million and Bogdanovich $80 million. And maybe that's a much better – maybe that would have been the biggest story. I think they would have been clearly a better team. Bogdanovich is a real dude. You know, I mean, DiVincenzo, I think, has been very good for them. I think what he offers for them is very complimentary. Bogdanovich may not have been as good of a fit defensively, but I think his offensive stuff is just, you know, so much better. and you would have figured it out. You know, Holiday and Giannis and Middleton are so unselfish that I don't think you'd have a but it didn't happen. And the Hawks thing is interesting because they've given the Bucks a run for their money, even when they haven't been healthy. I think, though, if the Bucks were really buckled down, I think they could handle Atlanta. I don't think it's the same type of issue as with Charlotte or Boston or Miami. I think they just match up better, and I think if they're a little more focused with the Hawks, that's something they could win in five games to me.
I feel like I've been a little negative in my questions here, given that the Bucks have just gone 3-0 against their two top opponents in the Eastern Conference since the last time we chatted. So give me some good news. Anything that jumps out, players who are looking particularly good. I mean, I think PJ Tucker's been a really great fit, but we've talked about him before. Anything that we should really be excited about as Bucks fans?
Well, one is the health. That's the one thing right now, as we record this, they have that the 76ers and the Nets have not had. I think the Sunday game, I wrote this, was their 45th game together of the trio. Now, granted, that shows that they haven't totally been healthy or available, but that's more than anybody else.
Yeah, every team's got that. 45 is pretty good.
Yeah, so that's good. I don't think PJ Tucker's the guy he was 3 years ago. However, in moments, he can be that guy. And I think that's important. I think that's important for him to play and for Mike Budenholzer and the staff to understand that, realize that, and use him in the right time. Like, I don't think – now, they couldn't help this. Bobby Portis had a stomach illness and they had some others. You know, Jeff Teague had an abdominal strain. So we'll have to see on Teague. But, you know, if Tucker's got to play 24 minutes, I don't know if that's what they want. But if he plays 16 and it's a good 4 or 5 minutes at the end of a game, like I think that's positive. I think him and Holiday can really be effective. I'll also go with Bryn Forbes, JR. I think it's really important that they continue to feed him, that he continues to make shots, because, you know, I mentioned Joe Harris in passing, the league's leading 3-point shooter in Brooklyn. Those are the guys that are going to have to get you 12 or a key 9 that, you know, you read my game story and maybe it's a line in there. Maybe they're not the star. Those are the winning plays and shots. And I think Bryn Forbes kind of disappeared for a little while, and he seems now to be finding a rhythm, finding a space again. I think that's a good thing for the Bucks if Bryn Forbes can be confident and really be finding those spaces.
Yeah, that's a guy who hits a game-winning shot in a playoff game. You know, that's right. The type of player he's become. So I agree. He's been really good. Let's go a little bit bigger picture. The Lakers, specifically LeBron James, sad because their team is facing the same injury issues that a lot of teams are, and they've fallen all the way down into the play-in game consideration here in the Western Conference. I know most Bucks fans probably aren't thinking about the Western Conference, but you got the Blazers and the Lakers with the same record in 6th and 7th right now, Grizzlies in 8th, and again, you'll have the bottom two teams, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th seeds will all be squaring off to get in a sort of pseudo best of 3 format. It's the higher seeds only have to win one game. The teams further out have to win twice. of course, the Mavericks did the same thing. When they started drifting down that low, they're like, oh, the play-in format that we've come up with is terrible. What a terrible idea. And now the Lakers are doing the same thing. This is the worst idea. People should be fired. And I'm just here with my popcorn thinking, it stinks to not be a top three team in your conference. But, like, I'm all for it. I think it's great and great drama. And, you know, if the Bucks are there, especially because in the past, in the history of the NBA, 7th and 8th seeded teams are, like, they're not going to go to the NBA Finals. I'm sure that's probably happened. But, like, by and large, those teams are not factors. Did the Knicks maybe do that? I think the Knicks were the lowest seeded team or highest seeded team, however you look at it, to make the NBA Finals. But there's no problem adding a little layer of drama to that, in my opinion, to the early part of the NBA playoffs. Obviously, I could see why the teams that are in danger of being involved there wouldn't like it. How do you feel about it? You like the format? It's a little bit of a change up from what we've had in years past.
I do like the format. I find it hilarious that, you know, LeBron and the Lakers and Mark Cuban and the Mavericks wanted to whine about it now that they're in it, as opposed to when they weren't. I find so that good. You know, yeah, amusing. And look, it's fun. It's interesting. For the most part, no one cares about the first round of the NBA playoffs. It is an entertainment league. It is a spectator sport. Say what you want. I mean, I don't know how excited people are on the East Coast for Washington, how people feel about the Pacers in Indianapolis. But look, they're in it. It matters right now. Whereas last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you know, the fans are getting mad because they're not losing more, you know, to affect the lottery. So I think it's a good thing. They can whine all they want. And look, yeah, you're right. If you're a 7 seed or you're an 8 seed, you're not winning the championship anyway. And I don't care that, you know, the Lakers with LeBron, that might be the one, like, asterisk to that, because the reason they're down there is because those guys all got hurt. But still, to me, I mean, what is he complaining about? Like, let's say the Lakers are the 8 seed and they get in. They're still going to have to play Phoenix or Utah in 7 games. Like, what's the difference of adding another? I guess, you know, one game, anything can happen, well, or whatever it's going
to
be. But
yeah, also low key, I would not want to be the Suns or Jazz having to face the Lakers. That would not be fun.
No. But that, I mean, look, them's the breaks. Like, I just, you know, if you are a champion, then win the championship. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just, you know, the complaining about stuff like that, like, you know, that's LeBron should know better. I mean, the guy's been to the finals like every year for the last decade. You know, it'd be like Tom Brady, you know, moaning about, you know, the snow at Lambeau, you know, like, oh, why do we got to go to Lambeau? It's like, if you're the champ, win the games. And if the Lakers lose to the Warriors, because Steph goes nuts, well, whose fault is that? That's not the league's fault for scheduling, you know, some drama.
League gets Lakers Warriors
as a play-in,
the league will make the play-in permanent for all time. They will just write the contract today.
Yeah, so I personally love it. JR, I think this is a great, like, I think, you know, we've done some look backs on, like, the 20-year anniversary of the 2000-2001, you know, season, Eastern Conference Finals season. I think, I don't know about Bucks fans, if this would just, like, drive them crazy, what about the best Herb Cole teams that were 8 seeds or 9 seeds as they were trying to get in that would be in a play-in series? Like, can you imagine, like, the play-in back then? Like, Bucks fans were going nuts about Herb trying to get the 8 seed. Can you imagine if this existed back then? Like, there would never be tanking. Like, he didn't want to tank anyway, but I don't know. Bucks, hashtag Bucks in two. I don't know. We're gonna win that play-in series to get, oh my God.
Yeah.
The best 34 win Bucks team that could have won a play-in series.
Yeah, there's some. I don't want to have a sinking feeling when someone says Herb Cole and we're talking about the Bucks, because the man did a great deal for Wisconsin sports, for the Bucks. I mean, he was a true fan, loved the Bucks, loved the organization.
He saved the franchise.
Absolutely,
he saved the franchise.
Yep, I don't want to speak ill of him at all. However,
I could still rip him for terrible decision making.
It was not a good time to be a Bucks fan, and really for a good 2 to almost 3 decade window there outside of that year in 2000, 2001. But I will 100% watch any play in, especially if it's Lakers Warriors. I mean, that is must see television. That has the potential to be some of the best watched television all year long for the NBA. So I know that the NBA would love it if that's what happened, but the Bucks are safely out of that zone. They're going to clinch pretty soon here, probably in the next 2 to 3 games, probably by the next time we podcast, although I haven't done the math to know that for sure. Before I let you go, Jim, anything you've got coming up, anything for the site that you're going to be writing or anything you're looking forward to here in the next few games?
Yeah, you know, we'll have something up soon on this, kind of taking a look at Giannis's 49-point effort against Brooklyn.
Oh, we didn't talk about that enough. He's amazing.
Yeah, and what's important about that, JR, is, you know, we wrote a story that published over the All-Star break on how Giannis, now at the time, this was before the knee injury, was working towards a third MVP or getting better, right? And that was a conversation. How can he get better? There's the naysayers who were, oh, he shouldn't ever shoot threes, he shouldn't ever shoot mid-range, he should just go to the post, blah, blah, blah. Well, that wasn't happening, isn't happening, and this story really dived into why. Well, after that game against Brooklyn, JR, Giannis flat out said, this is the player I want to be. 4 of 8 from 3, going to the rim, but also step back J from 13 feet, fade away jumper in the lane from 15 feet, baby hook from 8 feet. He's like, this is the guy I'm trying to be. So we revisit, not only that, his shot chart's going to be up there, from that game, but also kind of re-diving back into how and why he's getting here. And I think as they get to the playoffs, JR, now, is he going to be consistent with that? I don't know. We'll find out, but it bodes really well. If you're a Bucks fan, it's not just the one game being excited about 49 points. It's how he did it, how he got there, and where it's going. So I definitely want people to go back, read that story, but also definitely go and subscribe and read the deeper dive and get into. We talked to Josh Oppenheimer. We talked to, you know, an assistant coach, Scott Williams, back from when he was a rookie. Joe Prunty. I mean, got people around the league. I mean, it's one of those really deep dives into how Giannis is trying to get better. So look for that. You know, and going forward here, obviously, JR, we've got some good stuff, just with the game, quite frankly, the games kind of matter at this point. So, you know, be sure to head over there and of course revisit all the Bucks 50th stuff. JR, you did not mention yourself, your great work, your podcast. Rewind, go back, listen to JR's interview with Eddie Doucette, Lori Nickel, and Olivia Reiner's production. And kind of go through all that stuff too. If you're kind of bored with these regular season games, you know, check out the last title. It's all good.
We didn't mention his block, Giannis's block of Kevin Durant on a step back, just a waving away Kevin Durant's step back. Very difficult for any mortal human being to do. I haven't updated much. The book of Giannis, his best plays as a Buck. I think I've only added one thing from the 2021 season, this current season, and I don't know, that block shot might have to get some consideration. It'd be a little lower on the list, but that was a very visually appealing accent to everything you're talking about, to his offensive game. He is still one of the best defensive players in all the land, and Kevin Durant will not forget that. That was pretty great, huh?
It was. I guess I would argue, would the game opening left-handed lob dunk
over Durant
be, yeah, I don't know. The book of Giannis is a tough, I mean, that's a tough nut to crack, but I guess if you were looking at something at that game, that block was pretty good. But I mean, even Chris Middleton said left-handed was, he's like, usually Giannis comes down with that. 'Cause Chris said he kind of messed up the pass there. So I don't know. That one might be worth revisiting too.
Maybe we put them together. We could cheat. It's my story. I can do whatever I want with it. you know, you've got the stakes of a Sunday afternoon game against the team you might, you know, the other best team in the East maybe. And yeah. We'll see what we can do. I might be adding to that soon. He is Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Again, everything he has at jsonline.com. We got 8 games to go, people, and then we're in the playoffs. Milwaukee Bucks looking to get that first title in 50 years. They will probably be the 3 seed, maybe better, not sure yet. But lots of, still a little bit of ways to go. Lots of intriguing matchups left on the docket. Jim, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, sounds good.
Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think. Leave a rating and review. You can find me. I'm J.R. Radcliffe at J.R. Radcliffe on Twitter. He's at Jim Ozarski. We keep it very simple for you guys. Find him on Twitter. Let him know what you think. Hashtag PFP. If you have a question, give us a holler. We will happily answer it on the next episode of the podcast. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will chat with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.